Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today with me, I have Robert Glazer. He is an expert in affiliate marketing, and he runs, what's the company's name? Acceleration Partners. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, so we just, we're talking a little bit before the show about the conference that happened in Bangkok. I think like 2,000 people, you know, and I'm not really in the affiliate scene so much, so, you know, just mention it. And you didn't seem to have a great opinion about it.
No, I mean, we have a practice in Singapore now, and I think, look, affiliate marketing has an interesting past, and I talk about it in my book. In fact, it's called the Checkered Past, the Changing Present and Exciting Future of Affiliate Marketing, and the book is Performance Partnerships. But really on kind of what happened in the U.S., and a lot of people, you know, the performance in affiliate is a great channel. The concept of paying for outcomes and aligning incentives is great, but you have a lot of people that then take that model and sort of co-opt it and try to play arbitrage and try to get paid without creating a lot of value. And typically when a new market evolves in affiliate, you have a lot of the same things that happened, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, you know, happened there. And so there's just, you know, Asia has a ton of growth now. And, you know, Asia also has a lot of fraud in online marketing. And some of the conferences and activity I've heard go on over there is that fervor of more like a black hat SEO conference, or like, how do we use, you know, affiliate marketing to kind of, you know, make money at you know, at brand's expense. So we actually participated in the first Affiliate Summit Asia that happened in the fall. And I think that was great for the region. It was a high-end conference with brands there at the show and people talking about how they could work together and partner, you know, less around kind of, you know, get rich quick or make money. I think that is the message that has scared a lot of brands away from affiliate marketing and historically, but they're all coming back in some way, whether you call it performance partnerships, partner marketing, affiliate, because the concept of paying performance is a strong one.
Yeah, when I've started in the online marketing world, it was definitely dirty. And I, you know, like, I don't mind it. I think affiliates have a lot to offer. And actually, the reason I brought you on is because I made a partnership with Thinkific, which works well with my business. And one of the people from that group, his favorite book was Performance Partnerships, and he mentioned it. And I was like, you know what? I'll just get the author on the podcast. How about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, interestingly, the book, you know, I wrote a book that was really about the industry and the opportunity. And there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of books on affiliate marketing. But I was, as I was saying before, a lot of them are like, how to get rich quick, how to make money, of more of the a little bit of the scammy variety. And what we're focused on, how do large brands use this model, build up a sales force of tens of thousands of people? There is two major flavors of affiliate marketing. There tends to be the sort of cost per sale. So this is retailers, you know, paying a percentage of a completed sale. And while certainly there's fraud and attribution fraud and low value practices in that, it's not as bad as the lead side, you know. So in the lead side, it's a lot of people selling dubious products online that maybe get into subscription that are hard to get out of, and then offering, you know, really high commissions to those, and then sort of looking the other way as their partners say whatever they need to say to get people to sign up for, you know, a $2 a month lotion that is sold as some magic thing that is now $4.99, you know, subscription to that lotion. Or a $49 subscription to that lotion. So that is why I think it's really careful. You know, affiliate marketing is a methodology around how you connect payment and performance. It doesn't, you know, what the business behind it or what you're doing. It's just like saying online marketing. Well, there's online marketing for Walmart, and then there's online marketing for like scams. So, you know, who's involved in the product behind it matters a lot. But in general, it is the lead gen part of the space where some people are just willing to pay for a lead that has the most fraud and sort of problematic things associated with it.
Yeah, I get this nonsense through LinkedIn all the time now, because I actually got back on LinkedIn and I'm getting all these scammy looking people, you know, asking me if I want to get some leads from them. And I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, based from what I know about affiliate marketers, In the U.S. and Asia, because that's, you know, mostly what I've seen. No, I'm good. I'd get my leads and I know they're going to be good leads, you know, because I just never had a good experience with
the yeah, lead. Like I said, leads is where the problem, again, most of our programs are sales. People looking, they're selling stuff, they're giving a percentage. Leads is where, you know, I've been to conferences and it's like ticket scalping. People are say, you know, buying traffic, selling traffic. You know, one guy's like looking for mobile Russian traffic. I was like, where does that even come? Like, I don't, you're selling mobile Russian traffic. Like, what does that even mean? We really deal in the, like, we don't deal in that stuff. Again, I like to use analogies. Look, there's your ticket broker on the street, you know, that deals with kind of shady inventory. And then there's your high-end ticket agency that sells to corporate clients, right? We are much more in the latter business. So I don't even really know that much about the former, other than I don't want much to do with it.
Yeah. But with sales, I do see a lot of good stuff happening. Sometimes it's hard to find a win-win, you know, for someone offering it. You know, sell my stuff on your website. I'm like, you know, it's not, because it's just, you know, a little bit of a payout. And often that's not enough for me to want to give up my audience in any way.
Right.
But the good partnerships where, you know, both of us get value, it often starts with affiliate, but, you know, there's got to be a little more, I feel.
Yeah, look, the per sale model is helpful. Think about something like influencer marketing. So everyone got into influencer marketing. They didn't measure it. They didn't track it. They started overpaying. And, you know, they went from fervor to sort of everyone pulling back. Well, the performance model or affiliate, again, I think it's a model, not a channel, because affiliates make up almost every type of activity. But, you know, it's being now applied to influencer marketing where people are saying, great, I'm happy for you to talk about this or do a video. And here's a link and here's the tracking. And we're happy to pay you when that results in a sale or something that is valuable for our business. We're not going to just pay you to talk and have no data behind that. So I think influencer marketing is actually an area where it started as its own channel and now it's coming into the performance or affiliate channel because people want that measurement behind it and they want that payout tied to an actual outcome.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the influencer ones. You know, I see a lot of people try to become influencers only so that they can actually get that, you know, get those affiliate deals, you know, so they start without a business but just try to build up personal brands and, you know, and go in that direction, which I think is super foolish. But I do see that happening a lot.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people come to me and they're like, I want to get into affiliate. What sort of blog should I start? Or what sort of business should I start? I'm like, it doesn't work that way. I'm like, most of the really good people had a passion about something, whether it was dogs or grills or mobile phones. They started writing about it. They built an audience. They got an authentic following. And then they started focusing on monetization. I think if you start on focusing on monetization without quality content or without real interest in the topic, people read through the inauthenticity. The publishers and the folks that do well really are authentic. You know, they want to make money, but they don't say that they like a product that they don't, and they don't just do whoever's paying them the most. And I think that's misunderstood, is that, yeah, you can make money in the short term, but when you think about some of these really powerful global publishers, you know, in the technology or media world, they built a huge authentic following first, and then they focused on monetization second.
Yeah, I'm actually not a fan of that whole authentic movement. I think people should be professional, but authentic, I don't really think that matters. You know, it's like...
Well, it depends on what you're doing, right? Yeah. So I say that authentic more in the blog review. Look, if you want to build an awesome comparison shopping engine that's highly ranked in search, and like, great. There's not like an authenticity, you know, to that. I you're saying, look, pick your features, pick your whatever, I'll show you options. When you're doing some sort of product review site or you're endorsing stuff and you're choosing to go with the highest payer rather than the best product, that's the stuff where I think you'll get yourself into trouble in the long run because you won't really have an audience that trusts you.
Yeah, this happened in the crypto industry. I know so many people dropped their businesses last year to go into it. And there was one podcast in particular. I don't remember the exact name of it, but they were getting paid like $80,000 to $100,000 in tokens from ICOs, right, to just promote them. Yeah, and now I think the SEC or someone's going after them. You know, but for a while it was like super hot. Like you couldn't go around even Chiang Mai where I'm at. All the meetups on crypto, like they were talking about these guys. Everyone's trying to get into that business. I'm like, man, like this is so bad. So bad. It's not going to end well.
Yeah, look, you can. There's a lot of stuff that works well in the short term. But really what works well in the long term and what works well in the short term are rarely the same.
How would you structure an affiliate marketing channel that's going to work well in the long term, especially... I'm kind of interested about these big brands that you work with, right? Because that's a whole different ball game. You know, like a small affiliate guy is not going to bring enough numbers of any kind that's going to move a needle for Target, right? So how do you deal with these big clients?
So that's a great question. And that actually goes to the core of affiliate marketing, which is correct. I mean, look, there are some public companies that are affiliates. So there's always the 80-20 rule, right? In terms of there's some really large brands that are using performance, there's large media companies. So there are some that move the needle. But in general, the beauty of affiliate is aggregation, and that I can aggregate 10,000 partners, you know, let's say I'm a Target, and whether they do, if they do $5,000 or $1,000 a month, but they're leveraging this technology that gives them the assets they need, the tracking, the payment, you know, I'm not talking to all of them and answering their money questions and mailing them checks for $32. Like all of that is automated. So when you get, you know, when you get 10,000 people doing $1,000 a month and you can roll them up and aggregate them, that's actually pretty powerful and it's defensible. You know, unlike some of the paid search stuff where I can just basically, use a tool, scan your campaign and copy it, it's a lot harder to find 10,000 partners, wrap them up in a technology and have them working for you. So I actually think, you know, the answer to that question is twofold. One, there are some really massive publishers and that's where, you know, the 80-20 rule comes into play. But on the flip side, it is that aggregation where if you can use the technology to get scale of a lot of smaller partners, then that's a pretty valuable way to do that.
For smaller companies, what should we look for in affiliate marketers, to not get into all that shady stuff?
Yeah, at a baseline, look, if you start a program and you want to use a smaller, you know, in the US a network, a low cost, you know, something like a ShareSale or an AvantLink to start a program, or even, you know, PepperJam or folks although the market's kind of bifurcating, people are going higher end and lower end. Look, the best thing you could do is just review everyone manually, understand what they're doing, make sure you understand their business model. You understand where their sales are coming from. So at like a basic level, if you're a shoe merchant and you're working with a blog and you go to it and it's got shoe reviews or it's a sneakerhead site, you know, the clicks seem to be coming from a page that's about that, like yes, there's even fraud potential there, but you can assume that's really good. If you go to the site and it's a blog directory and it seems to have no relevance to what you're doing, yet it has a lot of sales, like that just requires a few more questions. A lot of times I tell people, like, we use a lot of technology to determine fraud, like how people may be cheating or doing something they shouldn't do in the program. But a good account manager should know that something is, even if they don't know how the person is cheating, they should know that something is off because it just doesn't make sense, right? There's something fundamentally a little bit out of whack in that you can't understand how site A is generating, you know, those sorts of numbers based on the volume of the site or the Alexa ranking or just the content on the site itself.
What do you think of these companies that set up all these deals, right, that you can sign up as an affiliate? Because I've been hearing, you know, a lot of them just go on, they're not pay out. A lot of different things happening with those too, you know. What is your view on those companies, right? Because that's the simplest way to start as an affiliate, is just sign up and start looking for these CPAs and all these other deals and get a couple bucks per, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is we deal in the world mostly where people have traffic or – not traffic, sorry. They have authority, or they have a website, or they have an app, or somewhere where they have a user base that someone wants to leverage. A lot of that stuff is email list swapping, I think, that you see. And that's why, again, affiliate's a broad name. You can have people who have email lists and they – you know, they send information about one nutraceutical to one list and they swap and trade their emails. So, it's really hard to paint. Affiliate is as broad as saying online marketing. So there's just a lot of different things that are called affiliate marketing. So if you're looking for offers, the question is like what – I think in most cases that's probably someone has an email list, right? Because if they don't have – a website or something that has authority in any way, then that's kind of the only thing that they could have, right? Is some sort of email list that they can market to.
Right. But I'm thinking about the actual companies that are supposed to be paying out to these affiliates, yeah. Right? And these companies are ones that often start being shady too. And, you know, I hear someone like sold a lot of things for them. You know, they have like 20K owed or 30K and this company doesn't pay out. So what tips do you have to look at those companies?
Yeah, sorry.
So the
best thing you can do, I think, to protect yourself from a merchant affiliate standpoint is join a program that's on a reputable platform or network, whether it's a traditional network or whether it's one of the large SaaS platforms like Impact or Partnerize. The network function is supposed to, you know, they're supposed to test and make sure that the tracking is working, that everyone else. If it's a pure in-house program, you will have very little recourse versus, again, the network's job is to help step in and protect affiliates and notice if the tracking went down because lots of people are complaining to them at once versus everyone might be complaining to the company that the tracking went down, but, you know, no one's paying attention. So you are much more protected if you join a program on a reputable network. And there's some networks that will even stand in and pay you if the merchant defaults on it.
Interesting. How do you think this whole affiliate marketing channel is changing? You know, because you mentioned in the book, you talk about the, you know, the past, the present, future. Where do you think it's going? What is it like now? And where is it going? Because we know the past already. It hasn't been pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just look, it's dividing, and like I said, we're using the term performance partnerships because that's a specific definition of the type of affiliate marketing that we think people are looking to do, which is a CPA model, but transparency, true relationship with partners, more of a business development model, real time tracking, where the affiliate can see their clicks and the count and all that stuff in real time. There will always be the other stuff, but for us, I would say it's a little bit like the Chianti Classico. Like we're trying to like, this is the good high end stuff that you want to be doing. And like, there's a bunch of people that sell, you know, Chianti wine that's bottled from, you know, bad grapes and all that. And you can put Chianti on it, but only people that grow wine within a specific region in Italy can call it Chianti Classico. That's sort of how we're looking with a performance partnership framework, saying, look, if these are the things that your company is doing as an affiliate or a merchant, then you're really focused on quality performance partnerships. And that's the part of the market that, you know, we all want to be in.
How would you say that to someone that doesn't have much experience? Because you're saying a lot of these type of keywords like performance partnership, and you know what does that really mean?
Don't focus on the labels. Well, that's what I was saying. For us, a performance partnership has a couple elements. So it has the CPA, which means there's pay on performance, the core affiliate thing. There is transparency. So the partner is transparent about their activities. There's a real partnership, like you would know these people, you'd get on the phone with them, you'd talk to them, and there's real-time tracking and payment. So these are just sort of the conditions, I think, of a quality program. Think of the opposite of that, where there's not real-time tracking, you don't actually know how you're doing and have to trust the other person, there's no transparency, there's no one to talk to, it's very transactional, you don't even know what your publishers are doing, you just kind of take a sale and you get it and you're happy. And you know, there's a payout. A payout can be earned, you know, for something that wasn't even valuable. Like most brands are not looking for a program that looks like that. They're not, you know, they're not looking for just transactional affiliate marketing where I get a sale, but I don't ask or don't tell where it came from. So when I use those terms, it's just more of a definition of what quality affiliate marketing kind of looks like. There will always be this other stuff. There will always be the lead gen and the don't ask, don't tell and the made up offers and all that stuff. Like, and people will use the same name, but what I'm trying to stress is it is not the same thing.
So it's basically being more transparent, right? And not making it into some magical thing. It's like, no, this is, you know, what we're doing. This is where the traffic came from. This is the actual
tracking. It's like business development. It's like partner development. You're leveraging this technology to scale. Because imagine if the biz dev team had to sign a contract with each of these people. They had to mail them a report. They had to generate an invoice. Like, that makes working with smaller partners and a wide range of partners really unscalable. And what we're talking about is that, yeah, it's more akin to business development, but you're leveraging all this technology that really allows you to scale.
Very cool. You know, since I brought you on based on a recommendation about that book, what is the one book you recommend to people right now?
You know, one of my favorites is a book called Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me. And it's on the topic of cognitive dissonance, which is one of my favorite things. And I would say that cognitive dissonance applies so much in our lives to our relationships, the people that we interact with, like all over the place. And I think if you can learn it and understand it, it's a really powerful force that affects a lot of our decisions in life and business. So I always like recommending that book.
Very cool. One last question. For someone that's thinking about setting up an affiliate program in their company, what are some guidelines that you would give for, you know, how much to pay out, where to sell this stuff? Because you mentioned some platforms, just a few guidelines for someone, you know, just that's basically just the 80-20.
As you will see, like, I can't make any generalizations. Again, I'll turn around and say to you, if someone wants to do online marketing, what should they do, right? I think this is why you need to talk to experts in this space, because mm-hmm. if you're a lead gen company or a retail company or you're local or you're global, I mean, commissions in electronics are like 1 or 2%. Commissions in, you know, custom higher end goods might be 15%. So I actually think the biggest dangerous in affiliate marketing is generalizations. So, I mean, the first thing that we would do in a discussion is figure out what the company is, what industry it is, where are its competitors. Look, there's a lot of content that people can read, and you can read it on our website, just free content around, you know, what kind of network do you need? What kind of markets are you looking on? How do you do a commission structure? But it is very industry specific. Like I said, 2% might be an awesome commission rate in TVs, and it may be a terrible commission rate in T-shirts. So it's very hard to generalize.
Yeah, but would you recommend someone trying to set it up on their own website or go through one of these platforms if they're trying to,
I strongly recommend working with a network, because I think you have access to affiliates and you can work with a lower cost network that's reputable, but you'll get help and you'll actually have a pool of affiliates that you can market to and make your offers available. When you do one of these pure in-house software, I mean, you have to do all of the work. And most of the people with small business, you know, don't have the time and energy to do that. So rather than installing the software and doing the work and cutting the checks, like, pay kind of 20, 50 bucks a month or whatever and sign up with a platform that can do all that for you and help leverage your time in a better way. Which, the payment thing is not trivial.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be writing $7 checks and getting people's bank account and sending them 1099s and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Which platforms would you recommend?
I think for someone just starting out, like an AvantLink, a ShareSale, PepperJam, you know, if they have a sub-$1 million revenue business, those would be good places to start in the U.S. I think globally, again, Awin is a big network. WebGains has a program now for starting smaller. You can start off really low cost when you're small and then grow with it. So we're seeing a lot more entry-level products from some of the traditional affiliate networks.
Very cool. I appreciate it. Robert, where can people find you?
Sure. I mean, you can visit accelerationpartners.com if you want to learn information about us. The book, if you want to download the chapter of the book for free, that's at performance-partnerships.com. And you can do that. And all of my stuff is at robertglazer.com.
Very cool. And we're done. Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO. Come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.